Turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. I know I read this last week, but I want to read some of the context of what he's speaking of here. In 1 Peter, I'm going to try to finish the message series from Egypt to Canaan land. 1 Peter chapter 4. I want you to look at verse 1. For those of you who are suffering, or those of you who have suffered, you've suffered loss of loved ones, the loss of friends, the loss of finances, the loss of wealth, the loss of home, the loss of health. For those of you who have suffered, here's what the Word of God says. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Now how true is that? How true is it that when you feel awful, you don't feel like sinning? Amen. When you're home puking your guts up, the last thing you want to do is go to a bar, get drunk, come home, puke your guts up. Amen? Makes sense. So why is Joel Osteen then preaching a gospel that disallows suffering or calls suffering, in essence, a wrong thing or a sin? When God says it is the suffering that we go through that makes us who we are, what we are, what we need to be, and what we want to be in Jesus Christ. You ask God to help you. All of a sudden, things start going bad in your life, and you're going, God, why are you doing this? Because you asked me to help you, and this is how I do it. God, make me a sharp sword for your kingdom. And all of a sudden now you're on the grinder and you don't like it. Amen? God, why am I wrong? Why is this happening to me? Because you asked me to make you a sharp sword for my kingdom. Now hush. And let the sparks fly. Amen. Verse 2, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may it suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it is strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Don't worry about what the world says about you. Who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick? That means the alive and the dead. I guarantee, listen, I do. I want God to go get those guys that raided that village and slaughter every one of them. I want God to send angels down. I want God to release devils from hell on those people and slaughter them. But God will judge them. Don't you worry. God will judge them. Verse 6, for this cause was the gospel also preached to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Do you believe that? Say amen. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Be sober-minded. That means stay away from things of this world that will lead you to a drunken mind. That means stay away from alcohol, stay away from drugs, stay away from all that stuff. Stay away from the world. There's more than one way to get drunk. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. That means feed people in Kenya is what it means. Have fervent charity among yourselves. That means feed somebody in your own church. Help somebody pay a bill. Help somebody along in your life. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. That means When you found out we did 3 feedings in the month, you don't say, well, I hope we ain't losing all of our finances. If God said feed them, feed them. God will pay the bill. Amen? By the way, church doing fine. It is. Verse 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, this is my verse to everybody listening to me. If any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God. That means if somebody talks to you, if you're going to answer them, give them Bible verses. Try to slip in Bible verses in the conversation that you have with somebody about deer hunting. Or cars. Or computers. Or putting on makeup. Amen! Give them Bible verses. If any man may minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Now God, hey, let me just say this. God gives everybody a different gift in the church. Not everybody can sing. Not everybody can preach. Not everybody can talk. Not everybody can pray long. Some people pray short. Some people pray long. Not everybody can read whole books out of the Bible at a time. Some people can only read little pieces of the Bible at a time. Not everybody has the same gift. God doesn't use everybody the same way. So don't be jealous of anybody else's thing in the church that they do. You'll be happier that way. Amen? Let him do it. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, this is what's on the screen. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come. Listen to this now. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? There is a world of wickedness and sin out there. And I have decided that no, this country is not going to improve. It is not going to get better. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. It's called the second law of thermodynamics. And I figured it out. I've applied it both to the church or to churches in general and to the American political and civil scene in this country. We will not improve in our morality or our politics or our civil responsibility. Everything in this world turns only but to corruption. Everything. As bad as I hate to say it, if this church survives my life and our tenure here in this church, and another group comes in, another pastor comes in, it is very likely that this church will pass on to corruption. One of these days, it is the way of the world. But let's get to the message. This is your life. How many of you used to be in Egypt? Raise your hand. Raise your hand to God. How many of you want to go to Canaan land, heavenly Jerusalem? Raise your hand. Say amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Clap your hands. Shout. Glory. Hallelujah. I want to go to heaven one of these days. Somebody say amen. Amen. But you got all that junk to get through. And I preached on every one of these things. Now, God just kind of let me, said, Mike, you've beat on them so much, now get some Band-Aids out and heal them up. So let's get some healing. Romans 8, verse 3, for what the law could not do. This is why they failed so much in the Old Testament. It is because they were under the law. The law will fail. If you think for a second that you can live by your own righteousness and please God so that He will bless you, you're crazy. You're crazy. You're a devil. You've got witchcraft doctrine in you. Get out of our church. Somebody say amen. If you think that you will get to heaven and cross the River Jordan by any act of your own righteousness, you are nuts. You are wrong. It is never going to happen that way. God won't let it happen that way. It is by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Somebody say amen. Amen. I guarantee you the audio is working now. Amen. Because if the microphone was off, they could hear me now. For what the law could not do, the law could not do, in that it was weak through what? Us. That's the problem with the law. God gave it to us. God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So in every one of these, in every single one of these instances, God gave them an opportunity for grace. Did He not? Do I have enough time to run through all these? Only if I run. How about Mount Sinai? Exodus 34. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai the first time with that glorious law carved out by God's hand, the writing carved out by the finger of God, given to Moses from heaven to take down to earth. When Moses came down from heaven to earth with God's glorious law in his hand, what were the Israelites doing? Breaking them. So Moses was so angry and furious that he took God's glorious law that he carved out with his own hand and wrote out with his own finger and smashed them on the ground, and they were broken. God's saying, you'll never go into the promised land. God was so angry. God said, I'm going to kill them all, every one of them. And Moses interceded for the Israelites' behalf and said, God, don't kill them. Blot my name out, he said. You remember that? That was Christ offering himself in your place instead of you being there. Somebody say amen. But what did God do? And the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables, which thou breakest, and be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mountain. So God gave Israel a second chance. How many of you have had one of those? Say amen. Exodus 34, verse 4, and he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first, and Moses rose up early in the morning. He went up unto Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and he took in his hand the two tables of stone, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood. By the way, Jesus is going to come descending in a cloud one of these days. Somebody say amen. Amen. Listen, this is the message supposed to make you happy. I'm giving you the grace. Amen. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with them there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord, merciful and what? Gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. That's the God we serve. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. So when you blew the first chance, Megan said it last week. Wasn't it you? Or who was it? No, it was Pam. I thank God for giving me all these second chances. I like how she put it. All these second chances. Even the third second chance and the fourth second chance and the fifth second chance. They're all second chances. Somebody say amen. Amen. And beside that, Jeremiah 31:31 says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But it shall be the covenant that I will make with this house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." It's as simple as that. Somebody say amen. He said, I'm not going to give them a covenant of do. I'm going to give them a covenant of I did it. Amen. Now, what about the waters of Meribah? Did God give them grace? Did God give them grace? When they said, He brought us out with no water. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go on before the people, and take with thee the elders of Israel, and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee. By the way, who's that rod? That rod is Christ, isn't it? He's the rod of the root of the stem of Jesse, with the seven spirits of God in him, Isaiah chapter 11. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock. And who's the rock? Wait a minute. If the rod's to Christ, who's the rock? Christ. Christ is everywhere. Amen. Thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out. Who's he going to smite? You for your sins? Or the rock? He smote the rock for your sins. Amen! That's grace! Don't you see that? That's grace. Psalm 81:7. Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah, Selah. God said, I proved thee. I brought you to a place deliberately where there was no water. Why? Because I wanted to hear you gripe and fuss and complain, and I wanted to smack you around a little bit, and then I wanted to show you my grace. Isn't that how God does it in our life? Take us out to a place in the middle of the wilderness where we fuss and complain and whine and get mad at God, and God smacks us around a little bit, and then he says, boom, here's this. Here's some grace for you. That's my whole life. Oh, what about the gainsaying of Korah? Oh my goodness, the earth opened up, swallowed Korah and all his family and 250 people, and surely God was mad at that. Numbers 16:31, it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up in their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah and all their goods, they and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation, and all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, Lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. Was that it? Yeah, that was it. That's God cursing the world and giving us grace, who sees the curse of the world and says, God, I don't want any part of that. Numbers 21:4. They journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to come past the land of Edom. The soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way, and the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness where there is no bread? This is the brazen serpent. There is not any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness, we're tired of this light bread. Oh, we're tired of this. Oh God, you're going to kill us. Surely you're out to get us. Surely God hates us. I'm not going to serve him anymore because he hates me. Now turn to John chapter 3. Hurry up, please, because I don't have it in my notes. But you know the story. Moses made a brazen serpent, and God said, those who look upon it shall live. John chapter 3, verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. I looked at that one day and I thought, okay, God, I'm messed up here. Is Satan Jesus or what? No. Colossians says that he made a show of his enemies openly, triumphing over them on the cross. When they lifted Jesus up, that was like lifting that brazen serpent up, because the serpent represents sin and death. And on Christ was my sin and my everlasting death in hell. And it was on him. He took that from me so that I don't have to deal with it no more. Somebody say amen. For God so loved, say this out loud with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. What about the 10 spies? Turn to Numbers chapter 14. For time's sake, I'm not going to read that story, but you know the story of the 10 spies. They rejected God's promise that he would give them victory if they went in against the giants. They rejected it. Now watch this. Numbers chapter 14, verse 22. Because God said, I'm going to make every one of you fall and die in this wilderness. I'm going to kill every one of you. You don't want to go to, listen, you want to play church, and then you want to fall out, you don't want to go to the promised land, you're not going. But look at the two who made it, Joshua and Caleb. What was it that was different about them, that was different between them and all of the other Israelites? Numbers 14, verse 22. Because all those men which have seen, this is God talking. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times. How many times? The law. You can't go to heaven keeping the law. 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because why? He had another spirit with him. Isn't that what God did for you the day you got saved, is give you a different spirit in your heart? Somebody say amen. I remember watching my mama come down to this altar many times, as a young boy. Why? God was putting a different spirit in her every time she made a trip to the altar. Then I started coming. And every time I made a trip to the altar, God was putting a different spirit in me. God was working this spirit out of me and giving me a new spirit, a new life, a new way of doing things. I want to tell you something. Instead of you wandering in the wilderness for the next 40 years, how about God give you a new spirit? Somebody say amen. Instead of you being down in the mouth all the time, instead of you being mean and hateful all the time, instead of you being scared to death about what's going on in the world, how about God give you a different spirit? Amen. Burp amen. I don't care what you do. That was a well-timed amen burp. That's it. I'm done. Look at there. It is by grace you are saved. And if you make it into God's promised land and survive all of those things that are against you, it will have been by grace. Not your own works. Not the church services we have. Not how many times a day you read your Bible. Not the meetings we go to. Not the money we give. Not the number of feedings we do in Kenya. Not how many souls are saved because we put stuff on the internet. Not how many UFO conferences I go to. I'm saved by grace and not by my works. I had not planned on running out of scriptures. This is what I'm afraid of. I'm going to run out of scripture to preach. I should have worked harder on this message, kept it till at least quarter after. I won't do it. I want you to bow your head. Listen, I'm looking at this church, and I guess I'm looking at saved people. I've learned, though, that I've been wrong before. In all the years that I've stood behind this pulpit, I've looked at people in the eyes who amen to my sermons, had their Bible open, got excited at the preaching, or came to an altar, one man that used to come here years ago just died this last week. I wonder where he is. I can't judge him. He was a man, I know him. He was a man that I know some things that I don't know that he knew that I knew about him. Some things his wife told me. But I knew he had some cords in the way and some serpents in the way. I know he was in places where there was no water. I know there was a lot of temptations in this man's life. And I read, and Lisa showed it to me in the paper. He just died. 62 years old. I suppose that everybody here today is saved by grace. But I can't guarantee that. This church can't say that you are. Your mom and daddy can't say that you are. Only God can say that you are. And I'm asking you this morning with your head bowed and your eye closed, and I'm not even going to ask for your hand to be raised, but I'm going to ask you this morning, are you saved by grace? Because there will be snakes. There will be rebellions. There will be wildernesses where there's no water. There will be giants. And when you find yourself walking in gates made of pearl, it will be because you are there to give God the praise, for His grace truly is amazing. Father in heaven, I come before you today, and I thank you, Lord, for blessing your people today. You told me to give them milk and not buttermilk. You told me to give them cheesecake and not cheese. Give them the good stuff today. And Father, we are thankful that we are of a people who do not look to our own righteousness, our own works, our own doings, our own givings, our own withholdings. We do not look to those things for our salvation. We look to the grace, the second chances, the third chances, the fourth chances, the offerings of grace through faith that you have repeated to us over and over and over again. The mercy that you have extended to us that has never ended. The times that we have fallen where you were there to encourage us to get up again, rise up again, and you would have mercy on us. You would cover our transgressions. You would call us godly for being people who repented of our sins. Father, that's the people that I want this church to be. That's the man that I want to be. Father, would you bless these people with that? Bless them with grace through faith and never-ending mercy. We ask this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Would you stand to your feet?